The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up on Life Today.
And so all of that heaped on me, I thought, how can I help him when I can't even help myself? I'm hurting.
James and Betty, along with relationship expert Emerson Eckeridge, tackle the sensitive subject of lust.
And women feel powerless to know how to deal with this. This is the elephant in the room that is very difficult to address because women don't know where to go with this.
Love and respect for a lifetime. Next.
Welcome to all of you. Welcome to you. Welcome to Life Today. James Robinson, Betty, my wife. We've got Emerson Eckeridge with us. He is the founder and minister in a great ministry, Love and Respect. Here's a new book, Love and Respect for a Lifetime. He's got a new video series he just did at Second Baptist Church Houston recently that'll just be available, Love and Respect Conference. Go ahead and welcome Emerson to I have something in my hand that's a little bit of an important matter for me. It's the tiniest acorn that I've ever seen. We have a lot of oak trees in our state. Some of them are live oak. They'll stay green throughout the winter. And I'm in a men's conference recently, and I'm teaching Betty on the heart of the Father, His heart, our heart, His will, His hope, our hope. And I'm talking about how He wants to talk to us. And He said, consider the birds, and I've revealed myself in all that I created. And He just talks to me all the time, and I'm walking out to just spend some time with one of the men, and I look down on the ground, and there was the tiniest acorn I'd ever seen. I mean, it was so tiny I could barely see it. It wouldn't be difficult for me to start weeping while I look down at it and remember, because you said, well, why? I mean, it's a little acorn. Well, because this acorn shouted at me. Here's what it said. If you just give me a chance, if you just plant me, I'll grow something real big. I can cast a great shade. I can provide comfort. And boy, it just really got me. And I said, God, how many people are wondering, could I just find a place to plant my life where it would just be so meaningful and cast a great shade? And you know, I came from an impossible situation. I'm saying this to you. I really wish, as surely as I have this little acorn in my hand, that I had your hand in mine. Because I want to tell you, if you want to know what's on God's mind and what's on God's heart, you are. And if you'd only understand how special you are, and that if you'd allow Him to plant you and let Him nourish you, you will grow something huge in its effect. And this goes for your marriage relationship. This goes for you. Wherever you are on your journey, you say, well, I'm divorced. I've never married, or I'd like to be, or I'd like a relationship, or my relationship's in trouble. If you just let God have that precious seed, your life, no idea what can come of it. And all of you here, you just have no idea how special you are to God. And I pray you'll come to understand that. You know, Emerson, we asked you sometime back to come and in your book, the new fantastic book, and you've taught on love and respect for years, titled your ministry that, so you know it's important. Probably the two most important components in a relationship, love and respect. But you came here, and you wouldn't talk about your book to me and Betty because you just read our book, Living in Love. Mm-hmm. And you basically demanded. I mean, it wasn't like you wanted your own show and we just pay for it. Yes. You just said, I mean, that's cool. If you can work that deal, let me in on it. I like that. But You said, I want to talk to you about the book because you thought it was as effective, and you're in the marriage counseling and ministry full time that it was as effective and meaningful as anything you'd read. So you actually asked if you could come back.
I did.
And I think there were some particular things that interested you from our standpoint as a couple. And maybe it's just Betty you want to talk to. I don't know. She's probably got more to say. But I'm just interested in hearing what's on your heart.
Well, I appreciate
related
that.
Related to what we share.
Well, and I'd echo, I think all of us have that longing that there would be potential as individuals, as well as a couple, that there's that belief that the Christ follower has that God has something pretty special for me. I mean, we know heaven's coming and it's beyond anything that we could ever imagine, but he also intends for us to have a sense of hope, sense of expectation that he's going to use us, that he loves us, that he's for us. But then we meet at times with these challenges and things that happen that, and then we get defeated and we get defeated by our defeats and we get discouraged. And so it's a good word that you gave to us that, again, we need that reminder that God is for us. He's not against us. He's not condemning us, even though we have failed, and but he wants to forgive us and move through us. And your example, I think, as a couple, is so powerful. As I was reading this, I'm thinking, this is pretty unique because the challenges that you went through, not only the tremendous successes and the fruitfulness of your ministry, but the fact that you are so transparent about the challenges. And I thought this would be a great encouragement to many people who are beginning to think, you know, I don't know if the Lord really wants to use me as an acorn, that maybe we're just going to stay small and insignificant. And that's not the message that you're communicating tonight, nor in this book. So I wanted to just ask an open-ended question. What would you say is the number one or number two challenge that the two of you have had as a couple? And I want to ask that question, and then I want to ask, why was that there? How did you deal with that? And is there hope for the rest of us? So it's an open-ended question. What was your number one challenge as a couple through the years as you think about it?
Well, you know, when I look back on our journey thus far, because we're still on the journey, we're still learning to live together as a couple. And when we first married, you know, it was all that, oh, everything's just going to be roses and there's not going to be any problems. We're just going to be so in love all the time, no disagreements. Uh-oh. That didn't last too long. And why? Because for one thing, you have two different personalities coming into this relationship. Mm-hmm. And I think the challenge is that you're trying to mesh together as one, as a couple in a relationship, but yet not to lose the identity that God gave each one of us.
Yes.
Not to lose the personality, because that's what attracted me to him was his personality. It was different from mine, and I liked that. I thought that was good, and I feel like he did the same way. He thought, you know, she's quiet. I'm not so much. But I think that was what really attracted us. Of course, you know, he's pretty cute, too.
He used to be.
No, still.
Well, they say sometimes opposites attract, as you're just talking about, but then opposites attack.
Yeah, that's true.
And these differences, instead of seeing them as a compliment or as God's gift to us, become points of irritation. And then we begin to wonder, you know, why are we not getting along? Why is this dance more difficult? Because there was such a great, exciting courtship and early marriage, and then whammo, something happens. And when did you begin to realize, well, you know, these differences, I shouldn't personalize as much. I should appreciate. Do you remember a moment when you said, he's unique. God's gifted him a certain way. And even though some of these things bother me, I'm going to appreciate those rather than be irritated
well,
by those
I think, well, from the beginning, I think I really admired who he was and how the Lord had brought him up from the situation, the life mm-hmm. he had come mm-hmm. from. And I appreciated and loved that God had called him into the ministry before we married. And yet, I thought that I was going to find all my joy, all my identity in him. And that put a great burden on him because, you know, as much as he loved me, as happy as he wanted me to be and tried to be, I wanted him to be my joy. I wanted him to give me all his time. I wanted to be his whole world, his whole existence, you know. And I found out pretty quick that that wasn't going to make me happy and that wasn't going to make him happy. That I had to begin to find who I was in Christ Jesus. And I think when I begin to acknowledge that and know that God loved me so much, that he gave his son for me, and that he created me to love him first. And then when I learned to love him first and got into his word and love his word that he gave me to be nurtured on, that I could love my husband better and appreciate him better and know that God gave him to me.
Do you remember that conversation, or did you have a series of conversations where the sudden realization was, Betty's kind of expecting me to bring her all this joy, all this happiness, and I don't know if I'm up to that, but then at the same time, she realized that she needed to find more of that in Christ, and all of us go through that. How did you come to a point where you were able to make a shift on that
point? I think most women, and Betty, it was true of her, but I think it's probably fairly typical in most relationships, women do want to be the center and focal point, and
want to be special.
They want to be special above everything else is special. So when they see an attraction to sports, hobbies, work, all these things, anything that distracts or attracts them in a different direction or seems to call for too much of attention is a threat. And she was threatened by sports first, and I kept going out with the guys, and that we cover that tension quite thoroughly. There's no way to cover all this. That's why we wrote a book that covers the details.
Yes.
That we couldn't cover it all, but it's well, really, you can't cover it all. But that those tensions were there, and really led to serious conflict, because I really didn't love a basketball more than her, no comparison. But I wanted to get out with the guys. So these things were serious, and we talk about how we worked through them. You know, when you were referring, because I know you and I have chatted a little bit, you talked about the challenges that we referred in the book, which we talk about money and that the finances. We talk about parenting, how that can divide couples and pit them against one another. But then we talk about sex. And that's such a joyful relationship. Only God. I say, good job. Way to go. Way to go. Only God. What a God. And surely you understand. You understand, right?
Trying to understand.
She's trying. She's been trying to understand for 50 years. So, and it's all right. You know, men will never understand you. You'll never understand how we feel about sex.
But, yes.
So, but let's at least try to help each other. So the point here was that we share that I was terribly distracted by lust that was inappropriately fed when I was a boy. I point out the fact that pornography is literally a tattoo on the brain. I mean, it's not just something that kind of goes back. It impacts. The unhealthy attraction to the beauty of women, it's very real. I didn't have a father, so there was a lot sown into my life that Betty began to notice that I was attracted inappropriately or distracted, and that's a real threat. And, we deal heavily with it, and it takes supernatural enabling to deal with a very natural appetite that to a woman seems so, what's going on with you? Mm-hmm. Why do you even notice? I mean, mm-hmm. Look, you like me. What do you notice? Mm-hmm. What's the deal? And yet the fact is women notice women as quickly as men do. They'll notice their eyes, their lips, their nose, their teeth, their ankles, their waist, as quickly as a man does. The problem is we get into this competitive feeling of competition, and he's attracted and why. Mm-hmm. And this thing became big for me. I mean, I had a lust problem that could have destroyed our marriage, but for a great wife and a great God and some people we could confide in. And again, we talk about confession not to feel better, but to get well. Mm-hmm. And buddy, you're not going to get well with a church crowd or a counselor or friends or a spouse that shames you when you admit I got an issue.
Yes.
This girl didn't shame me. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I want to tell you, I wouldn't have made it. Our marriage wouldn't have made it without the grace of God on her. But she had some issues that helped feed my issue, right?
Yeah, we both brought baggage into the relationship.
Yes.
You know, he shared just then one of his.
Right.
And but yet I had baggage too. I had a lot of fear on me, and with that fear came insecurity, low self-esteem. I didn't think very highly of myself, and I allowed the enemy, who I didn't realize was coming at me and putting these strongholds in my life. And so I let him engulf me with all these things, and I believed them all. I believed that I wasn't very smart. I believed that I was very fearful and insecure. But at the same time, because of that, I had a lot of jealousy for him and toward him. And with his challenge, my jealousy fed his problem, and his problem fed my jealousy.
Yes,
so we had a situation that somebody had to help us with.
And let's talk about this, because this topic of a male lust creates such insecurity in a woman, fear, it threatens her. Mm-hmm. Am I not attractive enough? Why would you have eyes for someone else? I don't have eyes for someone else. And there is this tremendous anxiety that comes over a woman. So here you had some of those fears to begin mm-hmm. with, part of your temperament. Then this topic is presented, and women feel powerless.
Yes, they do.
To know how to deal with this. This is the elephant in the room that is very difficult to address because women don't know where to go with this. They suddenly feel inadequate. It makes them feel even worse. They'd rather talk about baby showers, birthdays, happy things, happy thoughts. But now suddenly you address this issue with her. How did you deal with that as a woman of God who suddenly is hearing things from a godly man seeking Christ and yet is divulging stuff to you that would spark all of those deep-seated fears?
Right. It wasn't that James never encouraged me. I got the encouragement. I got the, I love you, honey. I think you're beautiful. You're the only woman for me, you know. It wasn't that that wasn't coming at me. Mm-hmm. It's just that I was hearing the other things
yes.
louder
yes.
from the enemy.
Yes. Yes.
And so it drowned out his. And so his just went right by me. I wouldn't receive them like I could have and I should have. And so that made it even worse. I felt very helpless. I didn't know how to help him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I felt like I'm not up to the caliber of person he needs as a mate. You know, God made a mistake. How could he have chosen
yes.
me?
Yes.
And because I would go to meetings with him and I'd see these women that were attractive and they were serving in the church, they played the piano, they sang, they could teach. They didn't just panic when somebody asked them a question like I did. I never wanted to be tested about something because I felt very dumb. And so I was just allowing all this come without him even putting any of that on me. And so all of that heaped on me. I thought, how can I help him when I can't even help myself? I'm hurting. But to the point that one day God put someone into our life to help show us how we could be free of his, he could be free and I could be free of my fear. I thought it was something that I just had to live with. I didn't know there was any way out.
Well, and I want to ask that question as to what that was, but I just want to echo what you just captured, many women can totally identify mm-hmm. with. And I think if women can trust your heart and what you're saying, and they do, they get what you're saying, but there's a remedy to this. They don't have to suddenly feel so overwhelmed by this that there's no hope, there must be something wrong with me, maybe it's better that I die. I think you even thought that mm-hmm. he would be better off if someone
I
else.
Did, absolutely.
And so these are feelings that didn't just happen to you, but they are happening to many women. Mm-hmm. I hear this again and again and again. But there is a remedy, there is a hope for this that's very powerful. And the way in which God is using the two of you now needs to serve as a model. This is the acorn that we need to come back to. There's tremendous potential. But now, what was it that was said to the two of you?
In light of our time frame, Emerson, and that's where mm-hmm. That's the reason we wrote Living
wrote the
in
book.
Love. And here's what I want to say. We're going to continue this because it's too serious. This is, mm-hmm. see, here's the thing that got us started toward healing. And if you've ever been to one of those psychology circles or Alcoholics Anonymous, you have to get honest about who you are. And in those little circles, they don't shame you. Sometimes in church, we feel like we're going to be shamed, but we get shamed in the... See, she didn't shame me when she saw I had a problem. I didn't shame her. I'm telling you, this is the hardest. She starts praying for me. She could see this guy's in trouble. I was in trouble because I was burning. And I didn't want to burn because I did love God and I loved her. So we're going to talk in the next program more about precise, and it's really important you stay with us. And it's why we wrote the book. And by the way, we'll send you Living in Love. But we're going to continue this discussion. Let me ask you, would you like us to continue this discussion? Those of you in the audience who want us to talk about it. Because we think it's important. We think it's important to so many marriages, if not most. Now, here's what I'm asking you to do. And I'm not going to be detracted from this. It's like I referenced the difference you can make. When Jesus says, I want you to think about this, if you'll just give a cup of water in my name, you won't lose your reward. What kind of reward are you talking about? Heaven's blessing. All that God has for you. And by the way, that's on your marriage too. And Betty and I really did see that together when we see it. I want to ask you to consider giving a cup of water. Would you help us drill some fresh water wells and give children and their families fresh water? That's what we've been seeking to give you for your relationship. I want you to watch this and see if you can help. I love that lady's smile. Lady, I don't know what you're saying, but I heard your heart. I heard your heart. God bless you, sweetheart. Holding a cup of water. 4,000 kids a day. I don't know if you could help get 4,000 of them water, but $4,800 will give a whole village a water well and it'll last them the rest of their life. Where could you better put $4,800 that just keeps giving? And we'll tell them about the love that inspired that gift. It's the greatest gift, God's love through Jesus. $1,200, pray for 3 more people to join you. We got a well. But listen to this. Think about this. $48. 10 children, 10 people, water the rest of their life. They get a cup of water all day. They can take it back to their little hut or their little house. Would you help us do that? I really think that your heart's just beating rapidly. I think you got a big care in your heart. But would you put, as some people say, feet to your prayer? Would you put feet to your care? Would you go over and get your bank card? You know, sometimes you use it when it really wasn't best to be used. This may be the best use you'll ever make of that bank card, like a check. Would you give a well? Would you give part of a well and pray others join you? Would you give 48 and help 10 or 144 and help 30 have water the rest of their life? Whatever you can do. We're going to send you the book, Living in Love. We want you to have it because we want you to live in love. And by the way, you really live in love when you begin releasing the love. When you look beyond your world, God will make a difference in your world. We want to send you Living in Love just to say thank you, and we'll also send with it Beth Moore's book, Praying God's Word, and talking about breaking strongholds by the power of God's Word. This is an incredible combination. And for those of you who will help us share with, you know, 30, if you possibly can, make that gift over $100. Our daughter, Robin, after she whipped cancer, walked in our home with this new life from that incredible battle with cancer. And she handed me this journal. She said, Daddy, God told me to buy this for you. And I'm telling you, I carry it everywhere I go. Matter of fact, I've gotten several more. And I'll just write down when I'm out eating or when I'm sitting in my chair or when I'm praying or sitting out on the patio. Just write down God thoughts. And I, as a result of writing them down, he just keeps talking to me. We want to send you one like our daughter gave us after she won that big battle for her life. And you help us. And then we have the beautiful bronze, the heart of the Father. I never had a physical father, but I got one like this. This really illustrates what we want to happen. Let's share God's heart. Would you dial that number or go online, lifetoday.org? If you write a check, make it to Life, but call us and tell us your mailing. We need to hear from you right now. Would you do that, please? Father, I pray every person who possibly can will give a well or give a cup of water, help as many as they can in Jesus' name. Would you right now make that call and help us share life? Thank you for doing it.
Water. Without it, life as you know it cannot exist. But for millions of children and families, their only available water is filled with disease, and once ingested, can lead to death. But one new water well can turn the most barren desert into an oasis of life. With your donation today, Mission Water for Life can drill 415 water wells this year in 15 nations. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 people. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10 people. $72 will provide for 15 people. And $144 will help provide fresh, clean, uncontaminated water for 30 people for a lifetime. With your gift of any size, we'll send you Living in Love, James and Betty's new book that shares keys to an exciting and fulfilling marriage. You'll also receive Beth Moore's best-selling book, Praying God's Word. With your gift of $100 or more, you may also request this beautiful leather journal to record and reflect on your own personal times with God. And finally, with your gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well, be sure to request Heart of the Father, our beautiful new bronze sculpture representing God's fatherly love for us as His children. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Well, Betty and I just say thank you, and we will be sending Living in Love. If you happen to have already gotten the book in one of the bookstores or bought it online, this may be one you want to give to a special couple. Praying God's Word. Beth teaches so wonderfully on this fantastic, fantastic book. I want to thank Dr. Emerson Eggerichs for Love and Respect for a Lifetime. Boy, that's what we talk about. He's going to be back with us. We're going to continue talking about the subjects that are of interest to you and meaningful. Would you say thanks to Emerson for being with us? Emerson, thank you, sir. Thank you so much for sharing. Thank you for watching. We really do appreciate your friendship and your help. Encourage other couples to watch the next program. All these things could have totally destroyed our life. But for one thing, we're crying out.
Tomorrow, James and Betty share the struggles in their marriage along with Emerson Eggerichs. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.